morning. Welcome to the podcast, They're Watching Us, where we like to wear our tinfoil hats for a little bit. I'm Kayla.
I'm Danny.
I'm Mason.
And so today our topic is going to be AI and surveillance. So if we wanted to maybe start with some, like, where do you draw the line with who has your data and how much of it that they have?
I mean, it's the sort of, I'd say I personally land on the side of, like, if there's a spectrum of how much I care that people have my data, I'm probably leaning towards the side of not caring as much as the average person. And I think part of that is just, especially me being in a younger generation and just pretty much my whole life that I've used the internet, I've known that people are tracking me and stuff like that. I mean, at the same time, I do think I obviously would prefer that to have more privacy and that companies didn't kind of surveil me to the extent that they do. But I'm sort of the opinion that as long as they don't use it for nefarious purposes, then, and it's not, and it's all anonymized, then I'm sort of fine with it, I guess. But I mean, I still think it's an ethical gray area, really.
Yeah, so I definitely feel like I'm a complicated person for that, because I probably have at least 3 different anti-trackers on my laptop, because for some reason, like, that draws the line. But I have an Alexa in every room of my house and have almost everything in my life automated and connected to the internet. So, like, I don't like them having data, but clearly it doesn't bother me that much because if there's a payout for me, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
So maybe my line is, like, I don't want the government to have my data, but big corporate America, I'm cool with it if you provide me a service in exchange for it.
Yeah, it's difficult because I think I don't have 3 trackers on my anti-trackers on my laptop, but I definitely have gone the VPN route. I've gone, like, oh, I'll use incognito mode, like, they won't take the cookie, but, like, that doesn't really do anything. It's just sort of peace of mind. I mean, I have a little post-it note over my camera right now. Is that doing anything? Probably not. But it's just the peace of mind, or, like, the false, maybe probably false sense of security that it's doing something. But again, yeah, it's like I don't want, you know, people listening in, but at the same time, what am I really talking about that is going to get me in trouble? But on the flip side of that, like, you want to believe that they're not using it for nefarious purposes, but how can you prove it? Like, well, you know, what about the Equifax breach?
Right.
You know, these things happen, and once they happen, you can't really, you know, it's like an oil spill. You can't just, you know, put it back. Like,
yeah.
The damage is done.
And it's not like with Equifax, there was no opt-in, opt-out. It's credit monitoring. Everyone is monitored for their credit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of life in modern America.
Yeah, actually, I had a situation, it happened a couple days ago, so it's lovely tax season. And we have against my better judgment, a Google Home in our bedroom. For me, I've argued to put it in the bedroom and not the living room, because that's the bedroom's the room I spend the least amount of time in, at least, you know, usually sleeping. So whatever I say in my sleep, I don't hold myself accountable. But my partner and I were talking about taxes, and we're like, oh, like, when are you getting the refund in your bank? You know, if you go to the IRS website, you can just enter your social security number and the amount, and it'll tell you. And he asked me that out loud, and I looked over at the Google Home, and I was like, give it to me, because I'm not saying that out loud, you know? And it was probably paranoid, but at the same time, like, I don't know, what are they going to do with it?
Yeah, no, it's totally valid.
Yeah, and I like, the thing is, I also have a Google Home in my dorm room, but it's like, I feel like I've already given Google all of my data anyway. Like, what else is there for them to learn? They already have my email. They already have all my passwords.
Mm-hmm.
They have my entire Chrome search history. Like, they probably have my social security number. They have my credit card number. But it's just,
yeah,
it's the sort of thing where I think in a lot of times they're just kind of, there's 2 different things going on. Where there's, I think especially with older Americans that didn't grow up with the internet, there's just sort of like a, they shouldn't have it. They shouldn't have any information about me. Whereas for me, I'm kind of like, well, if they're not doing anything with it, then it should be fine. But at the same time, I do kind of think that privacy should be a default and not something you have to ask for. Like, I think that it is dangerous to assume that everything is public unless you're active about it. I do think that especially it used to be before the internet that privacy was kind of inherent. And I think we've lost that a little bit.
Yeah, I remember signing up for Facebook probably in late middle school. I might be a bit older than, I'm 25, so a little bit older than both of you. But, and I remember my parents, my dad especially, was like, whatever you do, like, don't use the check-in feature and say where you are. Like, don't say, oh, hey, I'm home right now, like, alone, my parents are gone, I'm gonna, you know, time to play music or something.
Right.
It's like, because, you know, what if someone's following you on there, and then now they know you're home alone, and they know where you checked in, so they know your state, you put in your high school, and they just figure out all these things about you. So every time I post to Facebook now, it's, what is it, like, 8 years later, I'm still like, oh, man, I can't check into this concert that I'm at, because what if people know, you know, like, who's gonna find me in the crowd? But at the same time, it's still... that, like, tinfoil hat is on every time I post.
Definitely. And I will say LinkedIn is a great search engine if you're trying to attract someone.
Uh-huh.
That just, like, it has everything. People just, like, put all their filters down on LinkedIn.
All the places that I worked. And
And sometimes people just put their whole resume up there with their address, and you're like, you just made it really easy for me.
Ooh.
So just a warning, like, LinkedIn is a good place to stalk people.
Well, I see what you do in your free time, but...
So with that, are there, I wanted to bring it over to London because I did a study abroad there, which I, amazing experience, totally loved it. But they're also known for their CCTV. They have a camera pretty much everywhere in the city. Like, you can't take a step without being recorded, either by a public business or by the actual government itself. And they just recently turned on facial recognition with London Police on one of the major shopping districts. And this was on Oxford Street, which is, like, the street in London.
Yeah.
Like, that's where, if you're going to do shopping, it's going to be there. But the problem with this AI is that it's not accurate, especially if you're not a white young male. It varies greatly by race, by gender, and by age, how accurate it is. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
That's one of those, like you were talking about, that's one of those, like, gray areas where you're like, what do they intend to use it for versus what it's actually going to be used for, and what are maybe some potential unintended consequences of it? It's so, I mean, it's like a moral quandary, right? And they're it's like the like 23andMe collecting your data, and then they caught a criminal using it without their approval. I don't know how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen how that facial recognition stuff has gone in China, and it does seem like a breach of privacy. Because, I mean, the argument that people who are for it will make is that, well, if you didn't do anything illegal, then you should be fine. But it's like, well, there is still some sort of inherent assumption that, I don't know. It does seem like a breach of privacy to some extent. And, like, in China, at least, it's a fairly racially homogenous country, whereas, like, there's problems you were mentioning that could have racial side effects in America. This can kind of go into what we can talk about later, but just in terms of AI and algorithms, it's all going to be based on the information that you give it, and a lot of the information that they give it to train it is based on white males, and then that sort of, like, if that's the training data you use, then it's going to be less accurate for people who look different, and I think that can have potential ramifications too.
And if it's less accurate, then even if you are a person that didn't do anything wrong, you might all of a sudden be pulled over by the police just because you look like, or that algorithm thinks you look like somebody who did something wrong. And another question I had is, you brought up China. Do we feel differently about England doing this kind of thing versus China? Like, how much we trust the government in that country vary how we feel about them using AI?
That's rough, because it's like, I don't think how much I trust a certain government is like a fixed amount. It's sort of like this, you know, it's like on a shifting scale. Because it's difficult to say someone is like entirely good if someone is entirely bad. You know, there's a lot of moral gray areas. So how much, you know, if something's illegal, does that make it morally wrong, or is it more like, is it morally right in some cases, you know, civil disobedience?
Right.
So I don't know, it's rough.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I do feel tempted to say, I mean, I still think it's ethically in a gray area, but to me, London doing it seems less potentially nefarious than China, just because at least London is a democracy in some aspect. In China, you have all these things with their persecution of Muslims. It's just like, China, I could see it, the current government of China, I could see using it for much more nefarious purposes, or intentionally nefarious purposes, whereas In London, I think it would be the unintentional side effects, mm-hmm. probably, that would cause the most harm.
Mm. Unless, of course, tinfoil hat on. They're you know, sugarcoating it as, like, oh, we're just checking.
Right.
We want to see how many tourists visit this busy street. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what they're blanketing it as.
Right.
But secretly, they're, you know, funneling all this data to someone for outside purposes. Of course, they wouldn't tell us that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, on, like, a surface level, London's is just for criminal activity monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in China, it's this whole social credit system. And depending on how
mm-hmm.
they view your acting, and it connects to all your internet browsing
gotcha.
And determines if you can travel or not. I mean, it's
that's
far
lot.
More multi-layered than
yeah.
just, did you commit a crime? We caught it on camera. You are that criminal.
Mm.
But I will say, when I lived in London, I always felt safer, like, walking underground by myself, because I knew I was constantly being monitored, and I had the opportunity in a criminal justice class to attend a court case, and they were able to track, like, the person moving through the entire city, and
wow.
they were just like, here's frame A from this camera, here's frame B from this camera, and they could just show the whole
yeah.
map he took when he was murdering that person.
Wow.
So.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a, like, dystopian novel. But
you know, I mean, that's the world we're living in, tinfoil
yeah.
hat.
So how do we, if we in some ways are against monitoring of these things, how do we prevent them? Can we prevent them? Like, should it be on us, the general public, to prevent
mm-hmm.
them, or should it be higher up?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do think a lot of these problems could potentially be solved, but with we had the government that better understood this technology.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a lot of this, I think a lot of this could be prevented by putting restrictions on what companies can do. And obviously that's difficult to enforce. And if it's enforceable by fine, well then that, if the company's making more money off of it than the fine is, then they're gonna keep doing it. But I feel like the tracking can probably be put some limitations in place, but also, like, what the companies can do with our data. The companies are making billions of dollars off of our data, essentially, that we, I mean, technically we consented to give them our data by using their service, but there's no way to use a service without allowing them to use our data.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of making a bunch of money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And these companies are so kind of powerful that, I mean, it is hard to see the government actually tackling them, but at the same time, I feel like it should at least be attempted to do something about it, I feel like.
Yeah, that's sort of like when you download an app on your phone, it's like, do you give it permission for your contacts? And I always try to say no to those things, but then sometimes it's like, well, this app can't open. I'm like, why do you need my contacts so that I can make notes? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, I know that, like, sometimes in the background there's, like, connections. They actually need the microphone, and that's linked to contacts, and it's this whole weird thing, but why?
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you found an article about surveillance in the classroom and how ineffective it was.
Yeah. It was this article talking about this kind of aggression detector thing. It was this audio chip they put in classrooms, I think in New Jersey, and they... Or I think I put in several ones. One of them was in New York, and I think it was all around the Northeast. But it was essentially this audio tracker they put in classrooms that its goal was to determine whenever someone was aggravated in order to prevent violence. So if it caught like a high pitched scream or like a loud yelling or something, it would alert the school security monitors or whatever. But it just kind of a weird thing because. A, it's an invasion of privacy, I feel like, to have every student being recorded, because these are minors, and even if they were adults, it's still just kind of a weird thing to always be recorded in the classroom. And B, it wasn't proven to be very effective. Like, they had an example where there was a drama student who was screaming as part of a play, and she wasn't picked up by it, but then some other student was coughing, and it activated the thing. It also kind of showed bias towards being more likely to label, like, gruff voices as aggressive. And it just, A, it seemed like an invasion of privacy, and B, it didn't seem very effective. And the kind of spokesperson for the company, when pressed on it, he was like, he guarantees 100% that the system will at times misconstrue innocent behavior. And then this is a quote, asked whether his algorithms could prevent a mass shooting. He said, I wouldn't claim that we could prevent a crazy loony from shooting people. I was like, if you're admitting that this probably isn't going to do anything, then why are you doing it? Mm-hmm. But this was since 2015, so it's been a while since this sort of stuff had started. And I assume it's only going to continue to be more prevalent.
Yeah, and there was an interesting video that accompanied that article. You really need to be able to see it for it to make sense, but some students are playing Pictionary in the library, and as they're shouting out their answers, almost every shout of an answer is setting off this mm-hmm. alarm. So then it begs the question, you know, what if your administration and you are in charge of, you know, checking after all the times that this alarm has gone off? At some point, you know, it's going to be the sheep that cried wolf, right? Because you're like, oh, it's going off again. Someone's probably just coughing, or someone's just mm-hmm. playing a game. But then what if it goes off for real this time? How do you tell the difference? So again, how is this beneficial, and can we even make the pros outweigh the cons in that situation?
And they also used it in a hospital.
HIPAA's knocking.
and they had an example where it was like this, there was an actual instant or a situation where this guy was becoming very agitated and started yelling at people like for several minutes very aggressively, and then eventually like six of the hospital staff had to come and remove him, and he didn't even set off the thing. So it just doesn't, I think a lot of times these sorts of things they're for security or for safety, mm-hmm. but if they're not effective and if they have unintended consequences, it doesn't seem like a worthwhile effort.
Yeah, and then we also were looking into ways, you know, to get around this constant surveillance, because, I mean, you know, if we're sitting here, I don't happen to have one, but, like, you know, smartwatches, maybe that's recording. I know we all have multiple laptops in this room. We're, like, actually recording, you know, what else could be recording us? But there was a prototype for a bracelet that you want to talk about.
Yeah, so the University of Chicago created this very dystopian looking bracelet that mm-hmm. you wear around your wrist, and it's just a series of small microphones and computer chips, and the idea is that it emits a high pitched sound that we can't hear, probably dogs can hear, so sorry.
Oh, that's
dogs.
True.
But it the idea is that it would cancel out all the microphones around you by emitting this high pitched sound. And so I guess the idea behind it is that you could wear it as an individual and say, no, nobody's going to record me today. But is that really effective? I mean, is that helping anyone?
Yeah. I think back to the story I told earlier. I mean, I was, like, sitting in bed. I had just woken up, and we were like, you know, hey, what's your social? And I was like, I'm not telling you that. I mean, am I going to reach over and be like, hold on, excuse me, let me put on my bracelet and turn it on and press, you know, I'll just
right.
type it in. They probably, you know, that could be tracked too. But at the same time, it is just a prototype. So I think keeping mm-hmm. that in mind, that if this were something that people wanted to improve upon, think of how giant, I mean, even computers started with a whole wall of a room mm-hmm. and now they're in tiny little chips in your phone. So you could potentially mm-hmm. make this more effective and commonplace. We actually have a video of it working, and hopefully it doesn't hurt your eardrums, because it is a very high-pitched sound that these speakers pick up. But here's an example of what it sounds like.
So, how does it work?
I can tell you how it works, but it's confidential.
And they're activating the bracelet. And so we wouldn't hear anything, and you can see in the video that she's talking to this person, but that's all the speaker could pick up. It just sounds sort of like blowing wind. Almost reminds me of like recordings of the moon where you can kind of hear space. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you know, is that effective? Is that something that, like, would, like Mason, you said that you kind of just don't care. Would you go through the effort of that?
I mean, probably not. I mean, it's the sort of thing where it's like, I have a Google Home in my dorm room, and
right.
since I live in a dorm room, that's pretty much where I am most of the day. and, like, my suite mates even joke about, like, they intentionally say, like, things to the Google Home to, like, make me look bad or something. Like, to like, Mason stealing. Did you get that Google Home? Or just, like, something like that, joking around. So we're all aware that it's recording us. I mean, I think it's the type of thing, it's one of those things where it's like, should I do it? Yeah, probably, but it's like the work to do it. Yeah, am I going to? No. It's like the same thing, like, should I use a VPN at all times? Yeah, but that's a little bit of work. Like, should I use a password manager? I should, but then I have to go through all this trouble of kind of transporting all my passwords over, and it's just like, it's the sort of things where it's like, I know I should, but will I actually do it? Probably not.
You're crying on the inside because of your password
manager. Oh, man, I love a good password manager, and I love a good two-step authentication.
Until you have to switch phones and then add them all again.
Then it's a problem, but, you know, I'm trying to keep my phone as long as I can.
I feel that.
I feel like the application for this would not be necessarily as an individual, but as a company or a doctor's office or something where you're discussing confidential information a lot. Having them in rooms to block out people's phones and watches and Fitbits and things like that for recording.
Oh, I never thought of that. Like, have something that's not necessarily mobile as a bracelet, but just like a device on a wall, and you could, with like that room could be like soundproof in the sense,
right,
or like surveillance proof. That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
So to me, that seems more practical than necessarily as an individual just walking around with my dystopian tinfoil hat bracelet all the time. But that's just me.
Right. So before we wrap up here, do you think that there's a difference between, you know, the level of awareness of how much, like how often your data is being collected and how much of it is being collected? Is there a difference, like, in maybe age or education level or anything like that? So I know I have gotten emails from work where there are certain coworkers who will just immediately click on a sketchy link and you're like, why? Versus I get an email from someone that is sitting at the table next to me and I'm like, did you send me this link? Because it looks suspicious. I'm like, no, that was me. And I was like, well, if you just say, hey, click this link in your email, I'm not going to click it.
Yeah, I mean, it is the sort of thing where, especially these sorts of like scams that can collect your data, I think that people who are more familiar with technology, which are going to be on average young people and people of higher incomes, are going to be more aware of these sorts of scams, and they're also probably going to be more aware that of the tracking that's going on, I would assume, just because we've probably heard articles about it and seen stuff about it, whereas like my grandparents probably have never thought or heard about any of this stuff, which I think has potential ramifications.
Absolutely.
I do feel like there's a difference in the way that generations perceive this kind of technology. I know, for example, that I've tried to get my dad an Alexa because he's fairly technology incompetent, and I thought if you could just talk to it, that would be easier for
you.
Right. But he refused to plug it in. He was like, I'm not letting Amazon listen in on my household. And I said, that's valid.
Yeah, I might be your dad, yeah.
But at the same time, he almost fell prey to one of those fake Indian Microsoft tech calls.
Yeah.
So while I feel like there's this distrust, there's also less education on what is real and what isn't real.
Absolutely.
And I think maybe part of the reason why our generation is more willing to give over this data is because we feel like we have a more of an understanding of what we're getting in exchange for it.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I had actually yesterday a phone call from, quote, the IRS about, you know, I owed back taxes and they're sending the authorities and stay where I am sort of thing. And it's sad because, you know, if that were my grandmother, would she have believed it and not just, like, hung up and laughed about it? So I definitely feel like there needs to be more education about it so that you maybe you feel more comfortable giving over what you know is going to be harmless and or what you hope, I should say, is going to be harmless versus what might be detrimental. Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This has been They're Watching Us.